still doing the work of the Lord. I hope we can all say that with where we're at right now, but at whatever age we're at, that we're just wanting to do what God wants us to do. But I've had this burning question all day that I've been waiting to ask you guys, and I'm sure if you're anything like me, it's a yes. Have you guys ever gotten down a YouTube rabbit hole before? Yeah? Let me tell you the one that I got down is 4 years ago. A rabbit hole is something that you don't intend to stumble upon, but when you get in it, and you just keep looking and searching. 4 years ago, 2020, when COVID hit, I got laid up, and I was scrolling on Facebook, or not Facebook, but on YouTube, and I was looking for videos. And in one of my suggested videos, I watch a lot of like fish tank videos and wildlife videos, but it was this guy called Joseph Carter. And he lives out in Utah, and he's called the Mink Man. Did you guys know? First off, do you guys know what a mink is? It's like a little semi-aquatic weasel. Oh, I got Jeremy addicted to that video. Yeah, so this guy, Joseph Carter, he trains these little mink to go out and hunt muskrats. He goes on farms, and he has these dogs and these mink that he takes and trains to kill rats and basically, like, eradicate any sort of pest. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is a thing. It's called minkinry, if you're wondering. Probably weren't, but I'm going to tell you anyways because I was excited about it. Minkinry. And this guy trains these minks, and he goes to all these farms all over the place. And I thought it was fantastic. And that was this YouTube rabbit hole. And sometimes I still watch those videos, but I don't know how many hours, and I'm not proud. I don't want to think about it. I don't know how many hours I spent watching this dude train minks to hunt muskrats. And you say, what are you saying this for? Nothing really, other than the fact that it's a pretty cool video and that rabbit holes can give you a pretty deep dive. And this morning when I woke up, I was praying to the Lord. I said, God, I have this message that I have planned, but Lord, if there's something else that you want me to preach, lay it on my heart. And I opened up the Bible in Genesis 1, chapter 1. And I got down a rabbit hole, and we'll talk about that. But Genesis 1, chapter 1 says this: in the beginning. And I want to stop right there, and I want to go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we are grateful people. Lord, there's a lot of great things going on at this church. God, there's a lot of awesome things that you're doing in our lives, Lord, that we just want to praise you for and give you the glory and honor that's due you, God. And I pray that tonight as we get into your word and look at these things and look at this rabbit hole, God, that you would just bless us through it. God, that we would learn something, that we'd be excited to learn about your word, who you are, God, your character, and all of the promises that are in this Bible from the foundations of the earth. Father, we love you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. When I read those first three words in the beginning, my mind started to wander. I started to wonder, well, sure, we know the story of creation. We're going to read all of that tonight. But my mind began to wonder of what was there before creation? God was there, obviously, but what are some things that were there before creation? And so I started going down this rabbit hole, and I hope that you guys are excited about it as I was to figure out and learn about it today. But I want to look at four things that there were before creation. This is by no means all of everything. This is just what, through my study today, that I was able to find out, and it was super exciting for me. But to understand what we're going to talk about in some of these verses that Jesus talks about, that God talks about, that Paul writes to both Titus and the Corinthian church, is that there are five characteristics of God that allow for these things that happened before Genesis to be. The first one is that God is omniscient. That means that God is all-knowing. He knows everything there is to know. He knows everything that there was going to be, that there is, and that is to come. He's not limited by anything. God is all-knowing. Also, God is omnipotent, which means he's all-powerful. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. He told creation to be, and it was. Third is God is omnipresent. That means he is everywhere all the time. He is not confined to time or space. God is not confined in a box. If time and space is here, God is out here. And he always has been, and he always will be. Fourth is God is sovereign. That is, he has the right and authority to reign and rule the way he sees fit. And then fifth, God is immutable. That means God cannot change. So with those five attributes, with those five things, it helps us understand this study that we're going to get into, this view of how God can do the things that he did before Genesis when he did them. Does that make sense? Okay. So the first thing that God did, and like I said, this is by no means an exhaustive list, and if you guys followed that rabbit hole, and I hope that you do, you'll find a lot more than just four things that happened. But these were the four things that I thought were super interesting. The first thing that we find is in John chapter 17, verse 24. And this is Jesus as he's praying. He's praying for all believers. And he says in 17:24, he says, "Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am so that they will see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the world's foundation." We see here that before God created anything, he was in relationship with Jesus Christ. He was in relationship with the Holy Spirit, the Trinity that we worship, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That Godhead was already there, and he was loving. That's what it says. "Because you loved me before the world's foundation." So relationship and love was there. John chapter 1 verse 1 says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we see that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God, they always have been. They always were. And during that time, there was love as well. Has it blown anybody's mind yet? I'm telling you, when I was getting in this, I was like, are you kidding me? Like, what else? What else? What else happened? What else happened? And so I read further, but I stopped for a second because I'm like, man, that love that God demonstrates towards us was already there. It always has been. This should excite us, guys. Like, I was doing this study, and I was like, what on earth is going on? Because it's hard to wrap our minds around. But the love that God had for Jesus, the love that God had for mankind before it was even there, it was there. Before we were even created, it was there. And we see that relationship and love, and it's this perfect love, and it's the same love that God still has for us today. The second thing that we find that was there before creation were angels. Job chapter 38, verses 4 through 7 says, "Were you," and this is God's response to Job. This is when God speaks. And he says, "Where were you when I established the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who fixed its dimensions? Certainly you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? What supports its foundation, or what laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." We see here that the angels existed before Genesis happened. And it says that they were watching God create. Can you imagine that? As God was creating and the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted as God was creating the earth. As he was there, the angels were there with him. So that implies then that in Genesis 3, when Satan tempted Adam and Eve, that the fall of those one-third of angels that fell in rebellion, that happened before Genesis as well for Satan to be in the garden at its inception, at its creation. Are you with me tonight, guys? This is exciting stuff. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just nerding out about it. I nerd out about, like I said, mink videos, so this might not be as interesting to you guys, but I found it to be awesome. And so as God is creating the universe, the angels are there praising him and worshiping him. I'm pausing because I'm still trying to wrap my head around what that looked like before. All we know is the story of Genesis and when creation came to be. So to take a step back and think, man, this is what was there before. It's amazing to think about. And it's probably going to keep me up tonight, to be honest. That and Noah's not sleeping will definitely keep me up tonight. But I'm excited. At least I'll have something to think about. The third thing that was there before Genesis can be found in Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Verses 1 and 2, and this is Paul writing to Titus as he was serving in Crete. It says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness and the hope of eternal life that God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. We see that before Genesis, there was eternity. From everlasting to everlasting, God says that He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's always been. And we see that eternity is there. He's always been. And if God is all those things that we mentioned, which was omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, sovereign, and immutable, which He is, and He cannot change, then it tells us that He's always been. When he's talking to Moses in Exodus 3:14, He says, I am that I am. And He says, tell them that I am sent me. So before the foundations of the earth were laid, there was this eternity. And not just that, but God wanted us to be a part of that eternity. God wanted us to walk with Him into eternity. And we have that choice to walk with God into this eternal life. And we also have the choice to reject the Savior and walk and live in eternal darkness, which is hell. And we have that choice to do it. He's everlasting to everlasting, but God wants us to be a part of it. And the fact of the matter is, you will experience eternity one way or the other. You will either live forever and reign with God and be in heaven with the Creator, the Maker of heaven and earth, the One who has always been, who is now and who always will be. And you will be in His love and in His mercy and in His kindness and in His tenderness. Or you will face His wrath for all of eternity in a place called hell. But nonetheless, God was, and He did, and it was, He's eternal. He's always been, and He always has been, and He always will be. And so if that doesn't excite you, I hope this next one will. I really do, because this is the one that as I was coming to the end of this study that really stuck out to me more than any of the other ones. And though there are much more, it's what we can find as Paul's writing to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. And he says this, on the contrary, we speak God's hidden wisdom in a mystery, a wisdom God predestined before the ages for our glory. What is that mystery that God is talking about? Well, we know as believers the mystery is the gospel. And what is the gospel? The gospel is that Jesus came to die on a cross, but not just die, to be resurrected. And so that we can serve a living God, that we can be part of and hold on to and be joint heirs with Him. And that mystery was, and what he says here, the wisdom, in a mystery, a wisdom God predestined before the ages for our glory. God knew before He created anything that there needed to be a cross. And He knew that the person that needed to die on that cross for the salvation of you and I, to be able to take away the sins of the world, was none other than Jesus Christ. And He knew that, says here, destined before the ages. That's before time. That's before Genesis. And you say, well, why is that exciting? Flip back to Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to read all of Genesis chapter 1. So I really want this to hit home with us. I learned this technique, by the way, from Phil Marlowe. So he taught me this, flipping back and forth and reading big sections. So here we go. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. There was an evening, and there was a morning, one day. Then God said, let there be an expanse between the waters, separating water from water. So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above the expanse. And it was so. God called the expanse sky. Evening came, and then morning, the second day. Verse 9, then God said, let the water under the sky be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the water he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit with seed according to their kinds. And it was so. Verse 12, the earth produced vegetation, seed-bearing plants according to their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw it, and it was good. Evening came, and then morning, the third day. Then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night. They will serve as signs for the seasons and for days and years. They will be lights in the expanse of the sky to provide light on earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule over the day and the lesser light to rule over the night, as well as the stars. God placed them in the expanse of the sky to provide light on the earth, to rule the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. Evening came, and then morning, the fourth day. Verse 20, then God said, let the waters swarm with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. So God created the large sea creatures and every living creature that moves and swarms in the water according to their kind. He also created every winged creature according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the waters of the seas and let the birds multiply on earth. Evening came, and then morning, the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that crawl, and the wildlife on the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. God made the wildlife of the earth according to their kind, the livestock according to their kind, and the creature that crawls, and the creatures that crawl on the ground according to their kinds. God saw that it was good. Verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, the whole earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. Verse 28 says, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on earth. God also said, look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant on the surface of the entire earth, and every tree whose fruit contains seed. This will be food for you, for all the wildlife of the earth, for every bird of the sky, and for every creature that crawls on the earth. Everything having the breath of life in it, I have given. Every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and it was very good indeed. Evening came, and then the morning, the sixth day. You say, why is the mystery of the gospel that Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, why is the cross and the salvation that comes in Christ and Christ alone, why is that so important? Before God created the heavens and the earth, before God told the waters where to stop, before God put any vegetation, any plants, any birds, any animals, anything that creeps, before God hung the stars in the sky, before God created the sun and the moon, before God created mankind, he saw the cross. He knew that you and I, one day, maybe in January in 2025, that we would need a Savior. And before he created anything, he had the cross in mind so that you and I would be able to experience eternal life. That you and I would be able to call out to the Most High God and ask for salvation by the name of Jesus Christ, who died on that cross that God had created, that God saw before there was anything. Before the universe was created, he had the cross in mind. He cares about you and I so much that his design had us in mind from the beginning, from before the beginning. It was always his design. It was always his plan. Why? Because he loves us. Because he loves you and he loves I. Before anything was set in its place, the cross was set on Calvary. You say, why is that important? Because Jesus is the only way. He tells us in John 14:6 that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. No man comes to the Father except through me. God, before he establishes creation, he loved you. He thought of you. He had a plan to redeem you and extend his grace and mercy to you. And that's always been his plan, because he's always been. He always has been, and he always will be. And he established the cross and salvation so that you and I would be able to receive the gift. The gift that we celebrated just a couple of weeks ago, which was Jesus coming to earth to live a life, to die on a cross, to be buried for 3 days but to be resurrected. So what was God doing before Genesis? He was thinking of us. He was thinking of us. And as you ponder tonight this rabbit hole that I found myself going down, if you don't take anything else away from anything that you heard, you don't take anything else away, I want you to take two things. One, that Jesus died for you. Jesus gave his life for you. And the second thing is God loves you. He really, 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 truly, deeply loves you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Father, thank you for having us on your mind, God, and having this plan of salvation that we get to be partakers in, that we get to accept. Lord, thank you for your Son, Jesus, who was there, who's in relationship with you, and whom you loved always. God, we have that opportunity to cry out, to accept him and what he did on the cross. Lord, and I am so thankful for that, that when he died, and he died on that cross, that he had us on his mind, and not just during that time, but always. And Lord, I pray that as we take these next few moments and we open the altar, God, that you do a work in people's life that only you can do. Father, that your spirit would have full reign over the minds of these people. God, that you convict hearts and save anybody here tonight that might need it. Father, we love you, and we ask these things in Christ's name.